Tiffany Haddish got paid $80,000 to do that movie Girls Trip, and she used it immediately to pay off her house because she said she never wanted to be homeless again. And I thought that was so interesting to take that amount of cash and just throw it at something like that.
Well, I mean, if you had a bill that you could cover. So I'm a big one with numbers and even in odd numbers. So if I have a bill and I get a check and it'll cover that entire bill, well, I'll pay the entire bill right there, right? If it won't cover the entire bill, then I'll do like payments on it. But I mean, obviously that made sense, right? She wanted to make sure she had a place to live forever. Solve that problem first and foremost.
So there is this whole list of what did celebrities do with their first big showbiz check.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for mine.
Right.
And when it comes one day, I'm wondering what I will do with it. I don't know if I'd pay off a house. I think I would immediately like go on some kind of bucket list adventure trip or something like that.
I've told Anna that my dream is that if we ever get that deal, that big bonus check, I want it to be placed in a briefcase, right? And I want to make sure that we have a meeting in a conference room that has large windows. And then I'm going to, as soon as we sign it and that briefcase is within arm's reach of me, I'm going to grab the briefcase and then I'm going to fake my death immediately, either jumping out a window or something like that. But I will live privately, happily.
That's never going to happen. But other artists and what they actually did do with their first big check.
Okay.
Kerry Washington bought her first laptop.
Wow.
Jennifer Lopez bought a Mercedes.
Nice.
That seems right?
That seems like she got a bigger check than Kerry Washington.
I think so.
Right.
Brad Pitt bought a period craftsman chair and a Frank Lloyd Wright wannabe lamp.
What is he talking about?
What's he talking about?
Come on, Brad Pitt. Just tell the girls what they want to hear. You bought some t-shirts and like some ripped jeans that showed your butt.
Lil Nas X took his family bowling.
I believe him.
Yep.
He was so young. What a great album.
I didn't think that this would be the person that did the thing that's most reasonable, but Tom Cruise paid off his sister's college tuition. And then with his next check, he bought his other sister a car.
Wow, man.
Right?
Wish I was Tom Cruise's sister.
I was about to say, no, we all know that he immediately sent that to Scientology.
He started it.
I can't stop thinking about this kid. Total stranger. But after this happened, and what I just want to find his parents and be like, high five, sir and madam. You have raised a child that is incredible.
Well, maybe that's the case. Maybe not. Explain.
All right. My family and I were outlet shopping and we were in the Converse store. And I was separated from my family. I was by myself looking for a specific size on a pair of Converse sneakers.
Okay.
And
because you cared more than anybody else that was there. We're going to the Converse store because I've got to find this specific pair, this model.
No, it's back to school shopping, which is a whole nother stressful thing. But anyway.
Okay.
And this 9-year, I'm guessing around nine. I would guess between like 8 and 10 years old. Probably nine. Nine is my guess. 9 years old boy comes up to me and he says, hi, ma'am. And he looked like he had like an urgency in his eyes. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And
let me help this kid.
I thought he needed something.
Right.
And he goes, I think you should know you have something in your ear. And I was like, what? You know? And then he reached and he didn't touch my ear, but he went right behind it. I could feel the subtle wind behind my ear and he pulled out a gold coin. And I said, oh, I go, he's doing magic on me. We're in Converse and he's doing magic on my ear. I was so excited. I go, Can I, this is mine? I get to keep, because it was a real, like the dollar gold coin thing.
Yeah, no, it's not an actual gold piece, but okay, so
the
it was
dollar
a coin.
Thing. Yeah, it was like the dollar coin. So I go, oh my gosh, I go, can you go do this to my toddler? And like, and he was like, well, which one is your toddler? So I pointed like across the store. I'm like, the little one over there.
Yeah.
So I see him like march up to her. And my husband has this look in his eye like, what is about to happen right now?
Right.
He didn't see the whole
thing. He's like, I'll tackle this 9-year old who's coming after my toddler if I need to.
He didn't know there was magic coming.
Right.
So I see him say to Dakota, my 3-year old, you know, something about her ear. And she like grabs her head like, you know, like in a panic. And then he pulls a gold coin out of her ear.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was so excited. So I walked over and she was like, Mommy, there's money in my ears.
Yeah.
And then just like that, the kid is gone.
Yeah, just like that. He disappeared.
He disappeared.
More magic.
And I go, that was so fun and cool. And I'm like, imagine that kid got up in the morning and his mom was like, we got to go to the outlets today. And he's like, no, mom. And she was like, but you can do your magic on strangers. And he was like, all right, let's go. Let me get all these gold coins in my satchel.
Right. Let me go ahead and press my suit, get my top hat ready to go here.
He was wearing normal clothes. There was no way I was going to know he
looked
was
like
a
normal person.
100%.
Yeah. And you think it was great that they're encouraging their son to do that.
You don't think that is the coolest thing?
I mean, I think it's cute, obviously. He got a hold of a magic kit or saw a magic show and was moved and motivated by that. That's the thing he's focused on this week. I wonder if he'll, you know, keep it as a life's calling or anything. At one point, does magic become creepy, right? Because when you're 9, it's cute, right? Mm-hmm. If he was like 23 and he came up to you and did that, well, how would you feel? I don't think you would send him over to your toddler, right? Well, show my toddler magic.
Not in Converse, probably
yeah,
not.
Yeah, Paul would definitely take the guy out if he was like 20-something for it.
And he just like came up all scruff like, baby, you got something in your ear.
You know, the reason I ask is like this year on The Bachelorette, they had a magic guy the first night. And I was like, this guy never makes it. And he got cut first night.
But the old magic people are creepy. The ones that saw women in half and they like they grabbed the rabbits by the ears. Like, get out of here with that. Like, we canceled you, I think. The new magic, like when you watch America's Got Talent and there's like the new ones that do all these cool things. And you don't even know how they do it. You actually believe in magic again. They're cool. And that's where this kid is headed.
You think so?
That's where I think.
Or he's going to be a con man. One or the other.
One or the other.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What drives you crazy? When you see somebody do it or say it or post about it on social media, you just roll your eyes and you think to yourself, that is all I need to know about you. Here's your chance to just get it off your chest, get it out there. 1-800-330-9999. Shayla.
Those people that you have, those employees that come in the morning, they're chit-chatting with you for half an hour. As soon as they clock in, they're like, oh my God, I can't wait to clock out. That's all I need to know about you.
I find those people in the bathroom. That's why you have to try to go there when there, you know, it's low traffic time.
Yeah, they could talk to you for a whole half an hour. So if you come and clock in, they'll be like, oh, my God, I can't wait to clock out. I'm like, you was not even talking. You could just go home.
Sometimes it's tough to find that motivation, right? Katie, that's all I need to know about you. What do you got?
If you assume that I will pet sit for you for free, that's all I need to know about you.
Who assumes that?
I mean, don't you love my puppy? Look at my puppy's face. You're just going to deny my puppy?
True, but I feel like it's taking advantage of people's love for animals.
I guess it's true. I just can't believe anybody would ask you. Did that actually happen?
Yes, like, and usually it's good friends. It's happened a few times, but it actually is a lot of work caring, especially if someone has, like, a young dog.
Sure, and I mean, just that it affects your schedule. After all, you don't live there, right? So you've got to, you know, arrange everything around that.
Oh, it's definitely a job. It's a job to watch somebody else's pets. You should be compensated for it.
I move the pet sitters right into my house whenever they're watching the pets, you know.
But sometimes they don't want that. Sometimes, I know my babysitter watches my dogs, and she doesn't want to come live at my house. She has a boyfriend to go home to. Like, she doesn't, I don't expect that, but she's there as much as she can, and, like, that's fine. And she gets paid, I would think.
Well, I hope yours is. Because if not, now's your opportunity to speak up, Lindsay.
Yeah. Tim, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're standing in line at a restaurant and you get to the front of the line and you still don't know your order, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, that's my husband, and it drives me nuts.
It's my wife, too. I've actually taken the last few years now that we've been together, and I've started, like, this is my job. It's part of my callings in life, Anna, is that I have to, especially when we go out with a group, I have to get her centered in on dishes right away. So if we go to dinner together, you'll see that within literally the first 30 seconds of me hitting the chair, I'm saying to her, what do you think you're going to have? Because I know that what's going to come down to is going to come down to 2 or 3 choices. But she's not going to make any progress on those 2-3 choices in the 10 minutes that it takes the waiter or the waitress to come over and take the order at that point. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is waiting because she's got to have some special order with it, whatever. So if you sit down with us, don't worry. I already know what I'm having. Yeah. I'm not actually anxious. I'm doing this for the good of all of us. And she's not going to be happy with me throughout the process.
It's always a feeling of sadness when the waiter comes to the table and it's me, like, with one of my girlfriends, and they're like, are you ready to order? And of course I'm ready because I'm hungry.
Right.
Yeah.
And every time.
My girlfriend will be like, oh, just, I didn't even look. 5 more minutes. I'm like, oh, no.
Are you serious?
I'm so hungry.
We've been here before.
Just get the burger. It's good.
Seriously. It's not your last meal. If you don't like it, you can come back here. I promise. That's what I always tell her. She hates it.
Savage. People are savage. Please shut down a little girl's lemonade stand because it was too too close to a food festival and she didn't have the proper permits. Wait, but here's the best part.
Yeah.
Somebody complained. Somebody complained about the 8-year-old girl's lemonade stand because of this, and police had to go shut it down. Here she is talking about it.
I was just selling lemonade at my dad's work. He walked out of the car and said, I'm sorry, but I got a complaint call and they have to shut me down. I was really sad and angry. I have this little mitten that says, when life gives you lemon, make lemonade.
Well, you got to work that phrase in, right? How often are you going to be able to use that in a spot where nobody judges you? Yeah, it's the worst time to be a cop, right? When somebody calls for something stupid like that and you have to go and deal with it. I heard the cop actually gave her the money for the permit.
She ended up exactly. Like a group came together really quickly, crowdfunded for her, came up with the cash, including the police officer that had to shut her down. And she went and got the permit so she could run her lemonade stand.
You know what? I mean, here's the thing. First off, kudos to the kid. I saw the photo of this and she had full solo cups. Oh. And that's the kind of lemonade stand that I'm into. Kudos to the kid for setting up. Good business sense. Hey, there's a food festival going on next door. You could pay $5 for a water next door, or I could set up my lemonade stand right here next to my dad's shop. I mean, that's smart business.
It's true. I'm pretty sure the person selling the $5 bottles of water is the one that complained.
Of course it is. It would have to be, right? Because the first thing you see when you walk by a lemonade stand is, what's the size of those cups? Right. So there's nothing worse than when you pull up to a kid's lemonade stand and mom has sent them out there with like the Dixie cups from the bathroom.
Yes.
And it's like 2-3 ounces of liquid or whatever. And they're charging $1. I'm a fiver guy. I want to give you more money, but you got to give me actual like refreshment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I saw these solo cups in this photo. I mean, that was at least a 12-ounce cup.
So you think that that was the reason why somebody was just mad that she had a better product than them and selling it at a discount?
I mean, maybe. What's the cost on lemonade nowadays?
I haven't seen a lemonade stand in a while. And I got to be honest.
This is why.
Well, you're right. Whenever I drive by one, it's always, first of all, nobody carries cash anymore. So if I could give a tip to these 8-year-olds that are running the lemonade stands, take Venmo.
Right.
Or maybe like have like one of those little cube things where I could tap my phone and I could pay by Apple Pay.
It's a very good idea.
Because like I always feel bad. I'm like, I've got like 37 cents in this car right now. Mm-hmm. Like that's not going to get me very much.
Yeah. And when you Venmo somebody, you don't Venmo somebody $1.25, right? Mm-hmm. You round it up. You're easy to, you know, it's easy to round up and throw in a tip there too.
Right. So the tips that we have for the lemonade stand is one, get the proper permits.
Yeah.
Two, have the big red solo cups.
Big cups. Yeah. Regular size cups.
Uh-huh. And the third is make sure you accept Venmo or some kind of electric payment.
There's one more rule for me, and this is a hard rule, all right? It can't be mom's Crystal Light or something like that. I'm not interested in any of that nonsense. Mm-hmm. Country Time lemonade, and you make it to spec, all right? If anything, you make it sweeter than normal. You want this cash? That's how you're going to get these dollars.
We go together like Ramba Ramba Ramba, the dingity ding dong. Remember forever as she walks you out of water, you get a boom boom.
How many times do you think you've heard that over the last week?
I watched it like 3 times for myself this weekend.
I've never watched Grease from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. I've watched it in pieces. A few years ago, I was assigned the task on the show to watch it. It was just one of those things that it came out before I was born. You know, it came out in 1978. I was born in 1980. I somehow I missed the boat on it and I never watched it.
Well, you have to, again, you know, keep in mind that Anna comes from Italian immigrant family. And, you know, a lot of those shows, you didn't watch Jaws.
No.
You haven't seen Die Hard.
Never. I feel like when you come from immigrant parents that don't understand that you're supposed to watch these movies.
Right.
Like nobody told me to watch them at home. So I never did. And I feel like there's so many movies that I missed the boat on. And now that my older daughter, Hayden, is 13, every once in a while, she'll say to me, like, she'll mention a movie and she'll quote it because she sees it on TikTok.
Sure.
But she's never actually seen the movie.
But that's sad. You're doing your kids a disservice now. There are movies to raise your children to. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, but what are the new classics? Like, okay, you take Grease. Grease was part of that. There's all those 80 movies, like The Karate Kid that everybody said you had to watch and Splash and all those things. When our grandkids look back, what are going to be the movies that they have to watch?
For me, we just look no further than James Cameron. He gives us all the movies that we need to watch. So you've got Aliens to prepare us, of course, for the discovery of killer extraterrestrial aliens out there in the universe.
Yeah.
Terminator to prepare us for killer robots. Titanic to prepare us for killer icebergs.
Yeah.
And then you have Avatar, which prepares us for friendly aliens that are against greenhouse gases and climate global warming.
You fly now with me, my brothers, sisters, and we will show the sky people that they cannot take whatever they want.
That's right.
And that this is our land.
That's right. We're the sky people, if you didn't know.
Okay.
And we're bad people in Avatar.
See, I think when you think about the new classics, I think movies like this. Frozen. I feel like Frozen identified an entire generation of children and parents that, like, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing that song.
Well, it's true. There's an imprint on those kids. And then, you know what that means? The money machine keeps on working.
Yeah. What do you think are the new classics? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven?
I'm going to say all of the Harry Potter movies, like all of them, because you're going to watch that with your kids. Just forever. It's going to be something that you're going to watch with your kids, with your grandkids. I think that's going to be like the biggest classic.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what?
A wizard. And a thumping good one, I'd wager, once you trade up a little.
No, you've made a mistake. I mean, I can't be a wizard.
I've never seen the Harry Potter movies. I tried to make myself watch them, and I could not get into them. And then I told myself it's because I needed to read the books first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just never got around to them because those books look really thick.
So I've never read the books nor seen the movies, really just a part here or there. But I did go to Universal, and it was incredible. And it made me want to go watch the movies. Did I go home and watch them? No, but when I flip through and they're on now, I might leave it on a little bit longer.
I feel like you did it backwards. I feel like you can't appreciate Universal doing that.
I don't need to appreciate it. I went.
All right.
It was there. I walked. I was like, oh, that was cool. Yeah, I mean, I appreciated it. Did I need to appreciate it more? I'm not sure.
When you think about movies that are the classics, what pops into your head? Breakfast Club.
Weird Science.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
16 Candles.
But what are the new classic movies? The ones that our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids are going to watch one day. 1-800-330-9999. Mike.
I mean, it's got to be anything with the Avengers, Endgame, all of that. It's just was the biggest thing in the world, and it's going to be around forever, and people grew up on it, and they're going to be talking about it for the rest of their lives.
The universe required correction. After that, the stones serve no purpose beyond temptation. I am inevitable.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was big. It was certainly big. But here's the thing. They're going to recast the Avengers. It's going to happen. You know why? Because it made so much money. So in 15 years, they'll be back with a bunch of new Avengers. It'll be Endgame all over again.
But isn't that the same as kind of Star Wars? Like Star Wars, it just keeps going, the franchise. And I think Avengers evolves the same way.
It's new characters, new storylines. I mean, is it going to be the same movie? Of course it's going to be the same movie. Of course it is. Because that's what we like and that's what we want to see. So we'll bring our kids back. But it's going to be new people. Iron Man is Iron Man. Captain America is Captain America. In Star Wars, it's a different person. It's a different name.
You're just saying that because you love Star Wars.
I'm just saying.
Isabella, what is the new classic?
Okay, am I the only person who said American Pie? I mean, I feel like if you're over the age of 20, you've seen that movie, you love that movie. It's a classic. It's so good.
Are you lost?
Stifler's mom. No, not lost. Just, taking the tour.
So where's your little date tonight?
Oh, no date. It was a bathroom incident.
Well, there's a lot of things you can learn from American Pie.
Both good and bad.
Yeah.
Right. Things to do and not to do. It doesn't age all that well in the era of cringe. On the other hand, it encapsulates the 90s and early 2000s pretty well. So does the documentary on Woodstock 99.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't let my daughter watch American Pie.
No, I don't think you should.
I feel like you can't watch that till you go to college. That's going to be like a rite of passage of college.
That's like the film that somebody shares with your child when they're 20 years old, right?
Yeah.
No, same thing. You couldn't teach a 14-year-old boy to watch that movie either because they're going to learn all the wrong stuff. No, not a good idea.
Brian, what are the new classics?
I would have to say the new classic is Forrest Gump. That movie is the best, and it was a bridge out of its time for sure, so... I'm going with Forrest Gump on this one.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Lots to learn in that movie, Anna.
I loved that movie. It's one of my favorites of all time.
It's a good movie. Jenny becomes a folk singer.
Yeah.
The loss of Bubba, of course.
The shrimp boat.
But the overcoming of the challenge, right? Lieutenant Dan.
Making peace with God.
Oh, my God. You know what?
Yeah.
Good choice, sir. Good choice.
Tom Hanks in general, I think, has starred in so many all-time classics.
Mm.
If you think about it, Castaway.
Okay. You can't think of any more. Right. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Come on.
Right. Okay. Hey. Right. Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan. Yeah. You know.
Big.
Right.
Right. Splash.
Uh-huh.
Right. I could do this all day, but you stopped after the first film that you named.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Lady Gaga today.
Okay.
So this was in the news because she's got her Chromatica tour going on right now and people keep throwing things.
Yes, during her performance in Toronto last weekend, as she was singing Hold My Hand and was pelted in the head by what looked to be a teddy bear.
Right. Okay. And people, rightfully so, went crazy all over the internet and Twitter saying, like, hey, stop throwing things at Lady Gaga. Like, stop it.
Just stop throwing things at shows in general.
Yes.
It's really gotten out of control lately. You remember Kid Cudi just in Miami got hit in the face, left the stage.
Yeah.
I mean, and I would too.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing, it doesn't matter what you paid, what you went through to get the tickets. There's no part of that performance that allows you to show your displeasure that much. And most of these people aren't even displeased. They like the show. They're just... they want to throw stuff.
Well, that's exactly what happened in this situation. So people were like, you know, like what is happening? Why would you throw something at Gaga? And assuming that they were doing it, trying to hurt her. Now, this is during her song, Hold My Hand. And she is a pro because she acts like she did not just get hit in the face with something. She just keeps going. But the guy who threw the stuffed animal has come forward and he gave an interview about why he threw it. And there's a lot more to this story. And it's, you can be the judge on whether or not... okay. He threw a stuffed animal. The stuffed animal is called Dr. Simi. In Mexico, it's a show of respect to throw these stuffed animals on the stage at artists, okay? And he traveled to Toronto from Mexico because she hasn't been to Mexico in 10 years,
right.
And he figured she wasn't going to be making any stops there soon. Uh-huh. Now, this is where the things you're like, oh.
Oh, I'm already way past that point.
Okay.
So just get to wherever you're going.
These stuffed animals are created by people with disabilities in Mexico, and it's done to, like, kind of show nation pride, okay?
Now you're hiding behind somebody with Down syndrome? That's not cool.
No, it's not.
It's not cool.
But listen, because you hear him. He filmed it when he threw it on stage, and you could hear him yell sorry when it hits her in the face. Listen.
So I'm supposed to forgive him?
I don't know.
Yeah, dude, send a letter. All right? That's the normal thing you do for a fan club. Don't throw things on stage. Do you think that the artist collects these things and reads these letters or, you know, checks out the bouquet of flowers backstage? That's not how it works, man. There's 1,000 things going to be thrown on that stage. They're getting scooped right into a trash barrel.
You know who I blame for this?
Who?
80s hair metal bands. When people started throwing bras on stage, everybody thought it was cool. Everybody thought it was great.
Vince Neil thought it was cool. Not everybody.
And then
Neil thought it was cool.
Then it became like commonplace. You know,
how many bras have you thrown on stage?
Zero.
All right, so not that common, actually.
But a lot of people did it, and I feel like people think it's okay. It's not okay. You should never throw anything
anything. Don't throw anything in the crowd either. Don't throw anything whatsoever.
Yep.
Man.
The way you've been picking watermelon is wrong. The way you've been like trying to go through that bin at the grocery store and looking for the perfect one with no blemishes. According to this lady, you've been doing it wrong all these years.
I mean, I don't even know what the rules are. What are the rules for this thing?
Well, I always try to look for the one that has the least blemishes, looks the most intact.
Okay.
I knock on it. I don't know why I knock on it.
Right. You don't know what sound you're actually listening for, but you give it a chance. You're like, yep. All right.
That looks good. It's probably sweet.
Yeah.
All right. There's three things you're supposed to be doing when you're picking out the perfect watermelon, according to this woman on TikTok.
Look for a big yellow patch. This is where it laid in the sun. The bigger the patch, the longer it was ripening on the ground.
I never pick the ones with the yellow patch. I think there's something wrong with those.
Right. Like somebody urinated on them?
No. Just that, like, that's not what came to my mind. Nope.
Okay.
Just that it was, like,
rotten. What came to mind, but all right.
Okay.
And the uglier the better. This is webbing caused by bee pollination. The more webbing means it's more sweet.
You know how you see like the webbing on them, like that it's like an ivory color kind of, and it like goes all over. I always thought that was rotting. No, that's bee pollination making it sweeter.
Okay.
And you're in luck if you find these dark spots. It's actually sugar seeping out. Another sign that the watermelon is very sweet.
See, my wife doesn't like it overripe. Some people don't like it overripe. I love it like that.
I love it. The sweeter, the better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and juicy is good.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
So I sent my daughter last night to the grocery store. I said, all right, Hayden, you know, she's unbiased. She doesn't know anything about watermelons.
Right.
I said, I want you to pick the most beautiful watermelon, the most perfect watermelon, and I want you to pick the ugliest watermelon in the entire thing.
So we can do a side-by-side?
Yes. So we picked this ugly watermelon.
It's terrible. It's putrid. It's ugly.
It's got white spots on it. It does have dark spots. It's got a lot of that webbing. And then we picked one that we thought looked pretty good, like normal, completely round, solid. I knocked on it. It's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you got no answer when you knocked on it. But okay.
Nobody
all right.
Answered.
So, all right, here we go. Which one are you going to try first?
Let's try. So, the pretty one is the one that's supposed to be not as sweet. So, let's try that one first. The pretty watermelon that I would normally have bought before today.
It's pretty good.
Tastes like watermelon.
Yep.
All right.
Another ugly one.
Now we're going to try the ugly watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. The ugly watermelon is disgusting.
Yeah.
Wait, did you notice that too?
Yes, immediately.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the ugly watermelon is not good. It tastes overripened.
It's disgusting. Why?
It's better towards the edge, but in the middle, yeah, it's gross. It's like definitely, it's like all almost rotten.
All right, disregard everything you've just learned.
That's
we
right.
disagree 100%.
Yeah. To hell with you, TikTok.
Yeah.
To hell with you.
I don't know.
You won't break my soul.
What warrants a month-long celebration? I just saw this and I was like, I don't. So Beyonce has her new album Renaissance out, and Beyonce is clearly one of the biggest pop stars of all time, right?
I mean, she's certainly the biggest of this generation right now, if not arguably one of the top three.
Okay, so her album came out about 3 weeks ago. She has had massive release parties every weekend since. And it's not going to end. She already says that she's got listening parties coming up in Europe and she's going to have parties. She's having a month-long party celebration for her new album. And I'm like, I mean, it's great that you did it and it's an accomplishment, but a month-long celebration?
I mean, right? That's it. That's a 12th of the year, man. That's a long time, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what warrants a month-long celebration? I'm not sure an album release, I mean, a week?
Right.
You get a week of it?
Well, I mean, thinking about her past success, right, and her level of success and the amount of promotion and touring and stuff that she's done before, right, a month seems a little bit overblown. I mean, maybe 10 days, right? You go out, you do a couple parties, you know, here, there, or whatever. It's a promotional tour for her, so I get it. But, you know, other times in your life, when can you actually get away with that? I think that there's certain times, like if you win the Powerball, right, like you can celebrate for a long time for that because now you're rich.
Well, if you win the Powerball, your whole life becomes a celebration. Like, you don't have to.
But that first month?
Is it real?
Oh, that
party?
First month, it is on.
I think back to the Queen. She had her Platinum Jubilee, right?
Mm.
They gave her a weekend. She was the Queen for 70 years. She is the Queen, and it's been 70 years. Like, she could have had the whole month. She could have had a big party like that every weekend throughout the month of June, and it would have been cool.
When you don't have a regular job, again, though, kind of the same thing, right? She didn't even have to put together an album. She's been having that party every year her whole life.
I'm a fan of the Queen. I think she could have a month-long celebration if she wants it.
I think if you win the Nobel Prize, something like, if you get knighted, speaking about the Queen, like if I was to get knighted, I would celebrate for an entire month because nobody would ever expect that of me. Heavyweight champ of the world. I would, certainly you could celebrate for a month on that. That would be great.
No, a month for that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just got knocked out for 12 rounds or however many rounds it was, and you continued to stand up there. Or if you win the Super Bowl.
If you win the Super Bowl, then you can celebrate for a month because you have that time off anyway. You got to bring your family to Disney World. You got things to do. Yeah, you have a month to celebrate.
If I win the Super Bowl, bringing the family to Disney is the last official part of the work. After that, I mean, don't talk to me for at least 4 weeks after that. I could be in very, very rough shape.
Beyonce has had 3 weekends straight of release parties for her new album, Renaissance. I mean, what in a normal person's life warrants a month-long celebration?
Seems excessive, right? It is a good amount of time.
1-800-330-9999. Emily?
I gotta say, a wedding or a honeymoon. What's bigger than that?
I mean, I would agree, right? I mean, it's the best excuse you're ever going to have in your life, right? To take off that much time. You're also cash full because of all your gifts there. So you're feeling like, if I don't work for the next 2-3 weeks, I'm good. And if they fire me, I'm good.
Parker, what warrants a month of celebration?
Oh, your 21st birthday. You get a whole month to celebrate. You're finally able to do all the things that you were doing anyway, but you can do it legally now. And you just got to keep that party rolling.
Birthdays, I feel like, 21st birthday, sure. You get a whole month of celebration. Absolutely. But when people do like it's my birthday month, I feel like that's too much. Don't you think that?
I mean, I think at 21, you think you're going to party the entire time. You get 4 days into your hangover and you're like, no, I'm not sure that this is how I actually want to live my life. At least that's the way that I remember it. You can say it, but I mean, living it is a different thing. Living in at 40 is going to feel a whole lot worse than 21. So I guess it depends on what the definition of birthday celebration is.
Nanette, what warrants a month of celebration?
Definitely when you graduate from college. I feel like you should take the whole month off from work, go vacation, go celebrate with your friends and family, go travel, because it's like the time before you enter adulthood officially, so it's like you might as well enjoy it before the work begins.
Agreed.
Well, you probably don't have the best job at that moment anyways, right? You've got the job before the job, which is the first job or whatever that you're going to get now that you're a full graduate. So you don't have real responsibility at that point. You can quit. Tell that boss where to go. It doesn't matter. You already got the diploma. You're good, right? You're on to the next thing. Plus, nobody expects you to be a full-fledged adult yet. You can mess up still a little bit more. The world will be forgiving of you. I'm with you. Take a month.
Such a good in-between time. It's like you're young, you've accomplished everything, you've got this degree, and like so many people are in such a rush to dive into working, which I get it. You got to pay bills. Like, I understand. But once you start, there's no gap unless
That's
you get
right.
laid off or fired. So, it's hard to think about that, right. You know? Enjoy it.
There's never a forgivable gap coming up again, right? Mm-hmm. Never again.
Evan, what warrants a full month of celebration?
I would say when your first baby is born, it's the perfect time to take a month off and just get to know your child and prep. And, you know, that's the time to kind of just be a family, you know?
I think that you can get away with anything you want at that time in life. The first baby comes, right? Anybody else that has a baby knows that it's a special time and probably didn't get all the time they wanted, right? If we're looking at how the world was before. So you'd be like, oh, yeah. No, you should take that time. When you get back to work, they're going to hammer you hard. You're going to have to do so much stuff. But during that time, take that time because they know that you're going home to a personal hell anyways, too.
I don't even remember the first month after either my girls were born.
Right, because you didn't sleep.
No, you didn't sleep. You were so worried. It's like
no
you were
sleeping.
You were sleeping. Good. I'm glad you were sleeping. I hope somebody was watching the baby. It's all a blur to me. I don't know if I would call that celebration as much as trying to survive.
No, it's not the same thing, right? But you can definitely take that time off.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Noah and Giselle. Giselle, let's start with you. What's going on?
Yeah, so our son is going into second grade. We just got an email of the class list of all the kids who are going to be in the class for next year, and one of the boys in his class he had trouble with. He was bullied. He was really mean, and it was just a whole thing all year just trying to get them to get along because this kid has been so mean. Now that he's in class is going to be in class with him, I don't know. I think I need to talk to the principal and see if we can put him in another class. I don't want to deal with another year of my son getting bullied.
Noah, what's your side of this?
So look, I mean, I get that it was, you know, a tough year for him last year, but they're kids, you know, they're going to work it out. They're going to figure it out. It's not like we can, you know, storm into the principal's office and ask them to kick a 7-year-old out of class. You know, I just think it's totally ridiculous. It's totally getting overblown. And who knows, maybe by the end of the year, they'll be best friends.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of truth to what he's saying is kids are kids. Just because you had a problem one year doesn't matter mean that you're necessarily going to have a problem the next year. And I would think that if it was that bad last year, I mean, you probably took some steps to address it. If the email list went out with the classroom list, then you got the list, they got the list, everybody got the list. So now if all of a sudden kids start switching from room to room or whatever, somebody's probably going to ask why. Somebody's going to ask for an explanation. And if you're the other kid's family and you get the explanation, I don't think that makes it better. I think it might make it worse.
But I think what Giselle is saying is she wants to remove her son from the situation into a different class. If I knew that my daughter had conflict with somebody and it wasn't great, I wouldn't want to set her up for, you know, a problem going into a new school year.
I understand that, but, you know, you're still going to have gym class. You're still going to have lunch. You're still going to have shared hallway time and all that stuff, recess time. I mean, if somebody wants to be a bully, they're going to be a bully.
Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Giselle. You're just looking out for your son, and you feel like if you can avoid conflict before it even gets started, why not? Just do it. Send an email to the principal and see what happens.
Yeah, it's an easy fix.
They may see Noah's side, too, though. It's kind of a cop-out. And then, you know, you have to teach them how to deal with bullies. And if they ended the last year on a fine note, I mean, why stir the pot when there's really no reason to?
Right. Yeah, you're almost kicking the problem down the road. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
Noah and Giselle have a son going into second grade, and they just received the class list email. And one of the boys that's going to be in their son's class, it's a boy that they had a lot of problems with last year. He bullied their son, and even though everything ended amicably at the end of last year, it was addressed. Giselle says it's probably in their best interest to have their son changed out of that room.
Yeah, Noah doesn't agree. Noah says, listen, they can't avoid this. First off, they're kids. We have no idea what could happen. They could be totally fine after last year. They could end up being pals. And, you know, the other argument being is that they're going to see each other anyways, right? This is school. They'll all be at the same school regardless.
What do you think? Would you have your child switched out of that class? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Michelle. Whose side are you on?
I'm on dad's side. Kids are kids. You're going to start off the school year pretty bad if you just start deciding to move your kids from class to class. They need to challenge each other and figure out a way to work out together. And if you're just going to pull them out of class at the drop of a bully, you're going to have a long schooling ahead of you.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Giselle and Noah have a son going into second grade, and they just received the class list of the other students in his class. And one of the boys is a boy that they had a big problem with last year. He was a bully to their son. Even though things ended amicably at the end of the year, Giselle thinks it's probably in their son's best interest to have him switched out of the classroom.
Noah doesn't think that's a good idea. He says, let's wait and see what happens. They were cool. Last year, everything was fine. We can't prevent all problems. Our kid needs to be in some difficult situations from time to time so he can figure out how to deal with these things.
What do you think? What would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Tia?
I'm actually on the school side, not the mother's side. My child, she had an issue with a classmate, kindergarten and first grade, and we kind of mediated the situation. They became best friends and went on to be math club partners and got awards at the end of their seventh grade year together and are best friends now. I think that children have to learn problem-solving skills, and to remove them from the situation doesn't teach them that skill.
Hey, Bob, what side are you on?
I'm on her side only because when a kid from third grade to senior high, I was stoned and bullied every single day, beaten up, and never got any better.
Thank you for the call. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. That's terrible. You know, it's a tricky thing, Anna, right? I mean, we want to deflect danger away from our kids, from anything that you care about, really. But, you know, when you do that, you have no idea what effect it has on everything else, too, right?
Gosh, it's so hard. It's like you want to protect your kids so badly all the time from everything, but they also need to learn how to deal with emotions and work with other people.
You want them to be strong. It's part of what they need, right?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Noah, our audience agreed with you today. If they ended the year on a good note, kids have ups and downs. And hopefully that this is they've moved past it. And it's a good lesson for your son about having to learn to deal with people, even if they don't always see eye to eye.
I think now is the perfect time to deal with these hard things when you're young, when there's a lot of support around you. Build up a bit of a muscle to deal with it when things get hard and not just push the problem aside. So I'm glad we're going to be able to try and work this through.
Giselle, are you going to survive?
I'm going to survive. I'm just, you know, it's hard to see your baby, like, just get bullied. And I'm hoping for the best. And I hope he's going to have the tools to, you know, be able to deal with this. Hopefully nothing comes of it. But, yeah, I'll be okay.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven is $1,700. It's powered by Go-Go Squeeze. Go-Go Squeeze fruit on the go pouches are a nutritious snack made from 100% fruit with no sugar added. Squeeze out the best with Go-Go Squeeze. Hi, Danny. You ready to play?
Hi. Yeah, I'm ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Danny.
Thank you.
All right, Danny. As Raven is walking out of here, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Very good. Yep.
All right. Number one. Aaron Taylor Johnson says that Brad Pitt keeps a list of actors he'll never work with again. Brad Pitt's breakout roles was when he starred as a vampire in what 1994 film?
Interview with the Vampire.
Okay. Number two, Neve Campbell says she's departing from the Scream franchise because she feels undervalued on the set. What do they call the killer in Scream?
Ghostface.
Number three, Audrey Plaza says she would love to play Lara Croft in a Tomb Raider reboot. Audrey Plaza is best known for her role as April Ludgate in what NBC sitcom?
Parks and Rec.
Number four, high winds caused a stage to collapse at the Medusa Festival in Spain. If you stare directly into Medusa's eyes, what does she turn you into?
Stone.
And number five, Disney's Splash Mountain is getting a rebrand, changing its name to Tiana's Bayou Adventure. What Disney movie is Tiana's Bayou Adventure based on?
Princess and the Frog.
Nice job. Let me bring Raven back in.
All right.
Yo.
Dan, you got all 5 right.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, Dan, $1,700. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Aaron Taylor Johnson says that Brad Pitt keeps a list of actors he'll never work with again. Brad Pitt's breakout role was when he starred as a vampire in what 1994 movie?
Interview with a Vampire.
Yes. Number two, Neve Campbell says she's departing the Scream franchise because she feels undervalued on the set. What do they call the killer in Scream?
It's Ghostface.
Yes. Number three, Audrey Plaza says she would love to play Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider reboot.
Oh, I'd be here for that. She's magnificent.
Audrey Plaza is best known for her role as April Ludgate in what NBC sitcom?
She was in Parks and Rec, right?
Yes. Number four, high winds caused the stage to collapse at the Medusa Festival in Spain. If you stare directly into Medusa's eyes, what does she turn you into?
Stone. It all comes down to this, man. $1,700.
Okay. This could go either way. This is 50-50. Disney Splash Mountain is getting a rebrand, changing its name to Tiana's Bayou Adventure. What Disney movie is Tiana's Bayou Adventure based on? Let me put you on tilt.
I'm gonna just say Moana.
Nope.
Oh.
Ah, The Princess and the Frog. And Dan, just like that, you are $1,700 richer. Congratulations.
Woo! Yeah.
Good game, man. Good game.
Good game.
I mean, you love those Disney films. Wow, congratulations. $1,700, man. That's a good victory.
It's Dan and I just beat Ray.
Jackpot resets to $100 tomorrow.